The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. At the close of this teaching, we ask you to continue listening as we give you important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the theme of encouragement. This is message number 0037 and is entitled Supernatural Encouragement. Now, Dr. Peter Wins.
Now, I want to speak to you today about something that all of you do to some degree, but all of you need to do it a whole lot more, and some of you will find that this is a supernatural anointing, a spiritual gift in your life that you need to step up into, and it's called supernatural encouragement. I want to speak to you about the power of encouragement. So would you open your Bibles with me? We're going to look at two scriptures before we get into this. And I'm just going to give you a lot of information, stuff that I know everybody understands, encouragement, and we know it's a good thing. But we might not know the depth and the breadth and the dynamic of this gift and how it is so much of a supernatural anointing for some people. And so I trust that those of you who have not yet found your gifting will latch onto this and say, yes, Lord, I want this in my life. So would you turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and then also to Acts chapter 4. And first we're going to look here at the gift in Romans chapter 12, the gift of encouragement. And then we're going to go over to Acts chapter 4 and learn about the man of encouragement, at least one of them. So starting off then, Romans chapter 12, I'm going to start reading there in verse 6. This is what we read, Romans 12, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. And then flip quickly over into the book of Acts. And we're going to look at the fourth chapter. And I want to read to you about a man who's mentioned here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. This is what we read at the very early days of the church in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. We read, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Lord Jesus, we open our hearts right now to you. We open our ears to hear, not just a man speaking, but Lord, we want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Lord, we believe that the preaching of your word is to bring change to our lives. So we open ourselves up now and ask that your word would change us and that you would call us up. Lord, we don't want to stay the same as we have been. We want to move into the purpose and the pleasure and the providence of our God. And so we dedicate this message to you and ask that it would be successful for your glory in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, encouragement is the approval, acceptance, the exhortation to rise up and press forward and do well and be successful in body, soul, and spirit. When somebody comes to you and they say something to you or do something for you or include you in some way and it causes your heart to rise so that you feel good, and this causes you to take a step forward, to be more successful in whatever you're doing. That's encouragement. And this world needs a whole lot more of it. We see on our televisions a lot of discouragement. All the news, most of the news at least, is focused on things that are negative in our society. In other words, people don't seem to latch onto it. Most talking about people is gossip. It's a negative thing. But the Lord teaches us all through the scriptures to have this positive, uplifting anointing called the gift of encouragement. Now, let me give you seven sources of encouragement. They are, as I've discovered them, approbation from parents and authority figures. You know, when a little boy is running along and his mommy says, come on over here. You're the sweetest little beautiful. I could eat you. You're so wonderful. I think you're the greatest little boy in all the world. And daddy picks up his little girl and said, "You're my princess. There's nobody like you in all the world. You're so special. You're like the coming of the sun in the morning." And now, I don't know if you were raised in a home like that, where you got approbation in your life, where your parents congratulated you, told you you were doing well, were excited about your life. But if not, then there's a hole in your life. So that's one source, is approbation that comes from parents and authority figures. Another source is when you get approval and acceptance from other people. It's a terrible thing to feel rejected, isn't it? Where you don't feel accepted among other people. But when other people, like Pastor Matt, says, "Come on over to our house for turkey dinner so that you can teach him what U.S. Thanksgiving is all about." You know, there's something there of acceptance that makes you feel part. And without that, you suffer from rejection. If you feel that everywhere you go, people kind of shun you and push you away, there's a rejection problem. So approbation comes when, encouragement comes when other people draw you in and accept you. A third source of encouragement is positive exhortations from people that confirm you. So somebody comes up to you and they say, "Boy, I really like the way you cut your hair." Or, "You really look good today. That's a great smile." Or, "You always have an anointing of the Lord on your life." Or they just see you and they call you man of God. You know what that does? Those words, they're not expensive. You got a whole bunch of them to give away. You know what we read there in Romans chapter 12 about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? You know why they're gifts of the Holy Spirit? Because God's given it to you and you didn't have to buy it. God gave you this gift of encouragement. He put it in your heart, and now you have to give it to somebody else. You ever have those gifts at Christmas time where it's not your style? It's not really what you want. So you give it to somebody else. You rewrap it. What do they call those gifts? Regifting. Well, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's what they are. They're regiftings. You see, God gives you the gift of healing or faith or encouragement, or teaching, or serving, and then you re-gift it, and you give it to somebody else. That's the flow that comes from heaven through you to the people around you. So words, positive exhortations, are the third source of encouragement. The fourth source of encouragement are prophecies. And if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, it tells there that all prophecy is for instruction, for building up, and for encouragement. A prophecy should always bring some kind of encouragement. God is redemptive, not punitive, which means he doesn't come just to bash you over the head when you make a mistake. He might prophesy and tell you that you are the man and you better be careful. But then he's going to also say, "For I have a destiny on your life and I have a blessing on your life and there's a door open on your life." And prophecy is another source of encouragement, especially when the person doesn't know you. And they come up to you and they tell you something that nobody else could know. And you realize that's God speaking to you. And that brings encouragement. Now, let me tell you another source of encouragement. Number 5 is personal accomplishments. You know, you're meant to be a creator and a developer and somebody who's going to accomplish things in life. Finding our way in that journey is part of what life's all about. But when you accomplish something, you feel good. Da-na-na-na-na-na. You know that? You feel good when you accomplish something worthwhile in life. You know that book that I have out there called Unexpected Fire, which is about the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter through the book of Revelation? That took about 20 years of study and 2 years of very disciplined writing. And I'm just a 2-finger computer writer. Now, all of that book was written with these 2 fingers. Holy and anointed ones, I trust. But do you know that when it's finished and when it's published, there's an accomplishment to that? I love to paint. And when I paint a painting, other people can look at them. That's okay. They may even get hung up on the wall. But I paint really because I love the accomplishment of what comes out on the board when it's finished. So you need to have accomplishments in your life. And if you don't accomplish anything in your life, you know, there will be something lacking inside of you. But in some way or another, you accomplish something in your life, and that will be a source of encouragement. And then there's two that have to do specifically with the presence of the Lord. First, the number six source of encouragement is what I call the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why when we're in a time of worship and we start singing, I will give you all my worship, and you feel the presence of the Lord come, and you say, this is the best thing in the whole world. I was made to worship him. Because when you worship him, the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit comes to you. And when you feel, you get goosebumps, you get the, you know, electric vibrations moving through you. The spirit of prophecy comes, revelation comes, the cloud in your head clears, and you know, you sense Almighty God. And that will encourage you. Many people come to a church service, they say, because I've got to worship the Lord, because if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get into his presence, I'm going to be encouraged. And then the most important source of encouragement, number seven, is when you experience and are aware of God's favor on your life. That all day long, in whatever you put your hand to, in your family, in your place of work, in your ministry, you sense the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you hear that over your life. And that acknowledgement, when it's recognized, when it becomes tangible, that is an encouragement. Now, if you have, you might not have all of these things in your life, but even if you have some of them, they'll keep the engines going. If you have all seven of these sources of encouragement in your life, you're a very rich and wealthy person. If you have none of these sources of encouragement in your life, you have depression. There's so many people who suffer from depression and from discouragement and from a heaviness on their life. They just kind of walk through this world surviving and going from post to post as if just to get through. And many people, after they live it for so long, they say, I don't want to be here anymore because there's no reason for me to be alive. They become numb. That's depression. It's a horrible thing. And that's what happens when there's no encouragement in somebody's life. But the scripture teaches us to have and to be full of encouragement and to give it to other people. My dad was a great encourager for me, putting me in the ministry. I was 14 years of age. He was the pastor of the church. I just got saved 1 week before. I went to him and the elders and said, I'd like to start a youth group. 1 week old as a Christian and 14. And he said, okay. After I think they prayed about it, deliberated for hours, they said, okay. But it wasn't just the fact that he gave me a place in the ministry, but he also had words of encouragement. Sometimes those words of encouragement had a kind of correction in them, but they were a positive thing for me. I remember when I first left high school and I was working on the other side of Toronto, Canada, and I had to get to work by taking the city bus. But on this day, when there was a storm in the city, the buses would just go really, really slow, and I knew I would be late, and my boss did not like you to be late. And I remember my dad saying, come on, Peter, I'll take you to work. And I hopped in the car, and he started driving, and the rain was coming down so heavy that the wipers were just going, and you could hardly see out the window, and I'm looking there. I got my lunch bag in my hand, and I'm looking at the time, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm just demon, because I know I'm going to be late, and I don't know how many times before the boss says, you're fired, and I'm uptight, and my dad looks over at me, and he says, Peter, you're going to be late. That means you lost once. If you get upset about it, you lost twice. It was an encouragement, even though it was a correction. It called me up to something that I never forgot all the days, right up till today. That word, that when trouble comes, when anxiety falls, that yes, I can lose because of whatever circumstances are swimming around me, but if I let it upset me, if I don't find my peace in God, then I lose twice. And I say, thank you, Dad. Thank you for that encouragement. One of the greatest moments of encouragement in my life came from my son, Matthew, who's right there. And it was when I was leaving Derek Prince Ministries, being Derek's grandson. I was part of that ministry for a few years. We came down to Canada for that. And one of the reasons that they asked me to leave the ministry was because Grandpa Derek had died, and they didn't want a preacher anymore traveling on behalf of Derek Prince Ministries. And I can remember they gave me a severance pay, and they said, we believe in your ministry, but you're going to have to go on your own. And, you know, after many years of ministry in Canada, we had come down to the U.S. for that purpose. And it was like everything just fell out that day. And I remember coming home, and my son, it was early in the morning because I had driven through the night from where I was, and I was pretty heavy and discouraged. And we're, you know, helping our son get through university here in Rock Hill. And I came and sat on the edge of his bed. It was just as the sun was coming up. And I said, Matthew, I don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't have a job anymore. And I told you that we would help you with your university, but I want you to know that if I don't have the money, I'm not going to be able to help you. And he turned, still half asleep, but real wisdom. He turned and looked at me and he said, Dad, you're God's friend. If you fall, he will catch you. That was it. A word of encouragement that sustains and empowers and releases God's purpose and blessings. You know, encouragement can be a life changer for somebody. If you get a hold of this thing and you connect with God and allow this to flow in your life, it is amazing what will happen. There's so many verses here that we're not going to be able to look through. I'm going to ask you to go and look through them, but I still have a lot to teach you nevertheless. Now, this gift in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 7, actually 6 to 9 that we read about, there are in that list seven different charismatic gifts. And they are prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving generously, leadership, and showing mercy. Now, all of these, there's just seven in this list, although there's many charismatic gift lists in the New Testament. But right in the middle of this list is this word encouragement. It's put in the same place, in the same list, with teaching and prophesying. It is a supernatural gift. As a matter of fact, let me tell you how supernatural this gift is. You know, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, we know him by different names. And one of his names is the Comforter. Do you know, if you look at that word, the Comforter, you'll find it is parakletos, and it means actually to encourage. If you wanted to say it a different way, the Holy Spirit would be called the encourager. And this word in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8 that says there are these seven gifts, and one of them is called encouragement. It's the exact same word that's used to describe the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So this gift of encouragement is very much a supernatural gift of comforting and ministering to other people. Now let's look at a man who was known for his great encouragement. We can read about, well, we just read about him in Acts chapter 4, verse 36. His real name was Joseph. There's a few Josephs in the Bible. Joseph, son of Israel, or Jacob. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, who married Mary. And here this man, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. But the apostles gave him a different name. They called him Barnabas. Bar in the Hebrew is son. And Nabas means encouragement. He was called the son of encouragement. Why do you think that was? Because he just encouraged everybody. It's like he was a dealer. He just was a trafficker. He just, everywhere he went, he was encouraging people so powerfully and so dynamically that it was like a radiance of the sun that shone out of him. And it was so prolific that the apostles took note of this man from Cyprus who was a Levite named Joseph. And they said, "You're not going to call you Joseph anymore. We're going to call you Barnabas, son of encouragement, because you are amazing with your encouragement." And one of the things that's mentioned about him is that he comes, sells a parcel of land and brings it and lays it at the money and lays it at the apostles' feet. This is amazing. This man has a piece of property. He says, "I want to encourage the work of the Lord. I want to encourage the apostles. I want to encourage what God's doing. So I've got a piece of property. I'm going to sell it, and I'm just going to give the money from that piece of property and bring it before the apostles and say, 'Use this for the work of God's kingdom.'" What an encouragement this man was. It just came out of him. It was so powerful. I'm sure that was one of 100 things that Barnabas did to get the name Son of Encouragement. Now, you know, he was sent off in the first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13, when the Lord said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them to." Because first of all, he just starts off as being this super encourager, and then God anoints him. See, if you will rise up to this, now all of you have a level of encouragement because it's politically correct. But there is another level of encouragement that's supernatural. And all of you can move into this thing more than you have. But it's not just for the person you're giving it to. It's for you as well. Barnabas did it. He couldn't stop himself. He just had to encourage people. He realized how wonderful this thing was, how special this thing was. And so he just kept encouraging, encouraging, and encouraging. And the Holy Spirit started to move through the encouragement until he was called up to be an apostle. I like it. Oh, let the apostles come forth. Let it begin with your encouragement. You see, every minister is to have all of these seven things in their life that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12. Every one of them should have prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, generous giving, leadership, and showing mercy. Every minister of the gospel has to have all of those seven things. This isn't just, well, you take this one and you take this one. No, you all need this because you're all called into this ministry. Now, after a little while, Paul and Barnabas separated. Do you remember the story? It was over a man named Mark, because Mark had stepped out of line, and he left halfway through a mission. He was just a young guy at the time, and he just couldn't keep up with the older guys, Paul and Barnabas. And so he just said, all of this pain and difficulty and the rigors of travel and the persecution, I'm out of here. And he left. And when it came time for them to go on the next missionary journey, we read about it in Acts chapter 15. This is important because it involves our man of encouragement. It involves Barnabas. Acts chapter 15, and we read there in verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, But Paul chose Silas and left, and he went down to Syria. I want you to notice, here's a young man who fails. And the apostle Paul, he is so work-focused that he says, we got to get the job done, and we can't take somebody along who is going to be somebody that we have to carry because they're just not up to it. And so he says, we're not taking Mark on the next journey. But Barnabas, he was the son of encouragement. He said, we're not leaving that guy behind. So he made a mistake. He's coming with us on the next missionary journey. He's the encourager. And these two, the Bible says, had no small argument about it. So much so that they separated and went their different ways. And Paul took Silas and went down to Syria, and Barnabas takes Mark and goes to Cyprus. I have heard growing up and listening to other preachers that Barnabas was in the wrong, and he shouldn't have taken Mark, and the evidence of it is that we don't hear of him anymore in the scriptures. But Paul is just in the beginning. But I think those Bible teachers need to take a deeper look. Because as you read further in the scripture, you'll find in several places later on that Paul commends Barnabas. It's like he wished he would never have had this fight with him. And he keeps saying, there's none of you who work like Barnabas and I. And when you go down to a certain place, make sure you visit Barnabas, the great man of God. And then later on in Paul's life, when so many desert him, he says, would you please send me Mark? Because he is valuable to me in the ministry. And several places from that point on in his letters, he says, and please greet Mark as well. And so this Mark had a new lease on life because of Barnabas the encourager. And as such, he not only went and did the work of the ministry, but he became so prominent that he was number one choice in the latter years for Paul. He said, bring me that valuable man of God named Mark. I need him as a partner in the work of the ministry. All because of the son of encouragement named Barnabas, who wouldn't give up on him. Paul taught and practiced the gift of encouragement. In fact, you know where it says, where his letters are to Timothy and to Titus, and he says, rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering. Actually, if you go and look at the word exhort, it shouldn't be exhort. It should be encourage. And it puts a whole different light on pastoral care. Because we often think that pastors are to rebuke and instruct, or rebuke and exhort. But if you look at the true meaning of that word exhort there, it's actually the word parakletos, or paraklesis. It is actually the same word encouragement. So Paul says, I want you to correct, but I want you to encourage. Timothy, correct and encourage. Titus, correct and encourage with all long suffering. And then we read in the book of Hebrews, where Paul, some believe he's the writer of Hebrews, says, encourage one another, brothers, while it is still today. He says it several places through the book of Hebrews. Encourage one another, brothers, while it is still today. Because tomorrow, you missed it. You missed a day where you could have encouraged somebody, where you could have changed their life. You know, our great champion, Jesus, he is the greatest encourager of them all. The Bible says in Acts that Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. What do you think the Bible means when it says, and Jesus went around doing good? I don't think he baked cakes for the neighbor. I don't think he helped somebody fix their roof, although he could have. I don't think that he helped the fishermen actually throw the net out and bring in the fish. What did it mean when it says, and Jesus went around doing good? I think Jesus went around with a ministry of encouragement. Do you remember the woman taken in the act of adultery? They brought her before Jesus, and they said, she's caught in the act of adultery. Moses' law says to stone her. What do you say? Jesus, after pausing, says, who among you is without sin? Let them cast the first stone. And they all left, and Jesus looked at the woman with encouragement in his eyes. He gave her life back again. Do you understand that? He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You know, all of the energy in her life that day had drained. She had been caught in a shameful act that would have discontinued her with her people and with her faith. Even the religious leaders were shunning her and saying she really should be stoned to death. Everybody was against her, and her own heart was the worst. And Jesus, in a moment of time, with a word of encouragement, said, neither do I condemn you, dear, or go and sin no more. And do you remember Zacchaeus? He is smaller than me. I've been to the tree that they say is his sycamore tree in Jericho. It's highly unlikely, but there is a plaque on the tree that says, this could be the tree. It's a big old, as they say in the South, a big old tree. And anyway, he got up in a sycamore tree in the city of Jericho to see Jesus because he couldn't see over the crowds. I know the feeling. And Jesus stopped at the base of the tree. Why? With 1,000 people around him and so many needs, Jesus knew how to ignore everybody else and go right to the person who needed encouragement. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house for lunch. His heart started to beat. You know, this man was a tax collector. He was a Jewish man who'd been rejected by his own people because he was working for the Romans. Everybody thought that he was lowlife. And he didn't have much honor when it came to thinking about himself. But Jesus says, come on, I'm going to put some dignity back into your life. I'm coming to your house. And he went to his house and they had a meal. And Zacchaeus got so excited just at the acceptance and the encouragement that came from Jesus that he said, I'm going to sell half of what I got and give it to the poor. And if I've gypped anybody, I'm going to give them 4 times whatever I took from them. He just went bananas. Why? Because somebody encouraged a loner and an outcast. And you remember Peter? Peter lost his ministry. He was the one whom Jesus says, come and I'll make you a fisher of men. He's the one who walked on the water. He's the one who did so many great things alongside of Jesus. But when Jesus died on the cross, he lost it all. Some of you might have lost it all for different reasons. You get sidelined in life. It's painful. It's difficult. You lose confidence in yourself. And you just get put on the shelf. You still believe in God, but you don't feel very productive. And after the resurrection, Jesus got in Peter's face. May Jesus get in your face today. He's not come to condemn you. He's come to encourage you. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Get back up on the saddle. It's time to go back to work and to partner with the King of Glory. Jesus went everywhere doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And this anointing is for you. Now, there's a lot of nice people in the room. But how about being nicer? How about saying, Lord, I know I like to encourage people, but is there really a supernatural gift inside of me called encouragement that will change people's lives, that will help the ruined and put them back into a place of worth, that will lift the broken and the sinner and bring them to a place of dignity and strength and purpose in God once again? If you had a gift of teaching, I would say to you, every chance you get at a home group with a few people, at somebody around the dinner table, open your Bible and start teaching and explaining things out of the Word of God as the questions come. Get up every opportunity you can to stand in front of people and to preach until that teaching gift that you have is exercised and you become a great teacher. It's the same with all the other gifts. If you have a gift of encouragement, maybe it's just a bud that hasn't blossomed yet. You say, I like it. I know I'm an encourager. It feels good to do it. Well, man of God, woman of God, step up to the plate now. It's time to become supernatural and to turn your world around with this powerful gift. You do it in the natural. And if you do it in the natural and you mean it, it will only be a matter of time and the Lord will pour Holy Spirit oil through you and it will soon become supernatural. Let me pray for you. If you want a supernatural gift of encouragement in your life, I want you to stand to your feet wherever you are. You want this gift from God to come through you like Barnabas. They may not call you that, but they could. Now just hold your hands out in front of you. Let's take hold of the moment right now where the Holy Spirit is in this place manifest and wanting to bring change to our lives. Lord, we stand before you today as those who want the anointing of the supernatural gift of encouragement to flow through us. Lord, some of us need it for ourselves. And we ask now that the windows of heaven would open and you would give encouragement to those who are feeling depressed and discouraged and downhearted because they don't have those seven things, those seven sources of encouragement in their lives. Lord, I ask that you'd encourage them this week from those things. And then, Lord, I ask that you would cause each of us to be a channel where the power of encouragement would flow through us. I ask you to turn up the heat, Lord, to bring it to a whole new level in our lives and release the anointing for the work of the ministry and let it begin with this power of encouragement.
Yes, thank you, Lord. I, along with all who have heard this message, receive the gift of your encouragement today. Amen. If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's winsusa@comporium.net. Or write to Dr. Wins at Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, USA. The zip code is 29732. For additional teachings or to receive more information about Dr. Wins or RCMM ministry, go to our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue, and your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins on supernatural encouragement. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord and has helped to train you to become a better disciple, and that through this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us at CMM, to all of you who have heard this recording, we extend God's richest blessings.